Hello and welcome back to this conference. My name is Jai Bristow and I'm one of your hosts. And today I am very pleased to be welcoming back the wonderful Jiminika Eborn. Jiminika is a queer sexual assault and trauma expert, a trauma media consultant, and the host of the Trauma Queen podcast. Welcome, Jiminika.
Hello, good morning, afternoon, evening, all of them. Hello.
Hello. So thank you so much for being here. And on this conference, obviously, we talk a lot about trauma healing. So should we just start right off? What are your thoughts on trauma healing?
Yes, let's start spicy. I think that I look at trauma in different ways than some people. I believe that there's always a lot of comparison of like my traumas more intense than yours, or I don't want to call it this. I think anyone is allowed to call the trauma that has affected their life the trauma that has affected their life, right? Like, I think words mean things, and I think that's really important for some people to label it. Here's the part that I think people go, wait, what? I'm like, I really think we need to take healing off of this pedestal. And I've had this conversation. You will probably hear me have this conversation over and over, but it's because I think it's so important that most of us put healing on this pedestal and we're constantly checking in on what other people are doing. Well, I saw they read this book. It has to help. I saw they did this type of therapy. It has to help. When in reality, we are all different people. We might have similar traumas. I have been raped. You might have also been raped. Does that mean we have the same experience? Absolutely not, for many reasons. And so when we're constantly looking back at what other people are doing, you know, how other people are healing, that is where we're actually harming ourselves. So what if we actually took healing off of a pedestal and we go, hey, this is where I'm at today. Today, it might be hard to get out of bed. Tomorrow, you might thrive. And so that is the varying difference of taking it off of the pedestal, is allowing yourself to exist wherever you need to exist. If you're constantly trying to push yourself way further than you need to, are you ever going to actually exist where you are? Now, it doesn't say that you shouldn't push yourself out of your comfort zone. Yeah, growth comes in uncomfortable spaces. As cheesy as it sounds, it's realistic. But also being realistic is that today you can't get out of bed except to go to the bathroom, maybe order some food. And I don't want people to get into, and or I want them to get out of the idea of, I have been working on this so long that I should already be fixed. The idea of fixed also, I think, is extremely dangerous because it's not real. Trauma lives within us. We may learn how to navigate it. We may learn how to have a different kind of toolkit, but it doesn't take away from what has happened to us. No matter how much EMDR and how much meditation and yoga classes and silent retreat, I've done it all. And I'm really just talking about myself. It doesn't mean that the harm that has happened to me will ever leave me, but it does mean that today I'm so aware that I'm like, I needed to stay in bed an extra 20 minutes before I came to have this conversation. And I have a mix of certain teas that I like that will allow me to be present, right? Like, I have learned the things that still allow me to show up the ways that I need to, but it doesn't take away from anything. So that's my start of this convo. Just kick the door open of let's change some things.
I absolutely love it. I love how you're talking about not comparing your trauma with other people's, right? Instead, it's just, yeah, taking the time to tune in and figure out, what do I need in any given moment? It's about like building our toolkit, our capacity and our resources for navigating the difficulties, for finding what's supportive rather than trying to like, yeah, just fix everything and expect to have the perfect menu for trauma healing, for example.
Absolutely. I mean, that'd be nice. I wish like you could go to a store and it was like, here's what I need to fix. Like, I'll take a 2B, I'll take a 3C if that's going to like complete me, but it's not realistic. Now, are there options? Now, this is where it's realistic, is there's options and things you can tap into. Do I need grounding techniques? Do I need how to say no? Do I need to learn how to say yes? Do I need to learn how to get into my body? Do I need to learn how to get out of my body? Those options can exist. But the if I can do 1 + 1 = 2, then I'm healed. That does it. And I wish it did for all of us. I wish there was like a little magic pill. I'm looking at vitamins. I wish there was a little pill and be like, I'm so sorry this happened to you. There you are. like Men in Black just erases it. But it doesn't. And it's really hard because also we're constantly being bombarded by other traumas, by other things that are happening to us. And I always remind people, sure, you might not be actively in harm's way personally. Like it's not physically happening to you. It's not emotionally happening to you directly. But every time you pick up your little computer of a cell phone, you have the chance of inheriting others' trauma. You scrolling through Instagram, TikTok, whatever else, right? Like you have a chance of seeing someone else's trauma. I turned it on the other day. I was on X, Twitter, whatever they want to call it. And it was 2 women have been murdered in my area because they went on dating. They went on dates. And I'm like, that's not happening to me, but that adds to anxiety and fear for me. Right. And, you know, if you're seeing someone that has similarities to who you are or the way you were raised and they're harmed, it might be something that's not happening exactly to you, but you take that in. Right. Like the internet is great and it's also dangerous. The news is great, but it's also dangerous. Right. Like all of these things have the fluctuality of being helpful and harmful. And it can happen so quickly that you can't actually arm yourself. You can't be aware. You can't protect yourself. Again, you might be like laughing at memes, like bloop, bloop, bloop. Next thing you see, someone is shot. And the way that society is set up now, it's constantly coming at us because also healing for some people is a money grab. If we're going to have this conversation, we're going to be realistic. Some people use the harm that has happened to us to get rich. They commodify what healing looks like. And it's really gross. It's really sad. It's really scary, right? That's another thing you got to worry about. You're like, I'm just trying to figure out how to get out of bed and navigate things when someone's like, come this way. It'll only cost you $35,000 an hour. Come this way. And you're like, what?
Absolutely. And I think that's something really important to talk about, you know, because as things evolve and progress and, you know, the advancements of social media, of the internet, of all these things, I think there's some really fantastic elements, right? The opportunity to connect, to learn from each other, to build community, to find names for some of the experiences we're going through, perhaps to have conferences like these with like resources for and methodologies that we might not have heard for otherwise or have access to otherwise, right? There are some wonderful things about you know, social media, the internet, all of that. And of course, everything has a flip side, right? So as you say, it also, there's an abundance of information. And that can also mean more opportunities to be triggered, to be overwhelmed, to be exposed to things that are going to activate us, that are going to be, yeah, really difficult to manage and deal with. And so I guess my question is around, how do we titrate that, right?
Ways that I can see and have worked with individuals around making the internet feels safer, right? Like, what is safety these days? That's a whole nother conversation. We can come back to that. But like in a way that they are able to navigate it, scheduling time away, like literally like blocks of time off. Scheduling on your phones. Most of us have smartphones. You can schedule to be locked out of apps. Locked out. Get locked out. And if you're one of those people that goes like myself, again, I'm talking about me. That's like, oh, remind me in 15 more minutes. Remind me in 15 more minutes. They also have apps that you can do like math problems or some kind of like brain thing that you're like, I don't even want to deal with this right now. I'm not going to get on Instagram because I don't feel like doing math. That probably seems better and I should probably take my own advice because I hate math and it would stop me from using it. But I think there's also the idea of choosing who you want to follow, right? Because that is a choice. So looking at the things that we can make choices on how we protect ourselves, if you're just scrolling on a For You page or the recommendations, you can't control that. The big computer system is like, we've seen you like this thing before. Maybe you'll like this. And you're like, that was a rough day. I don't know about today. But if you're actually curate, I love the way this person speaks. I love their background. I feel connected. I feel related to it. you can build your own safety bubble. You can build your own container. I know a big topic that I have navigated around is like body neutrality, body ideas, dieting, working out, all of these things. And you start following people and you're like, ooh, I like the way they do this. This feels good. But ask yourself also, like, why do you like the way they do this, right? Like the questioning. I love how you said, like, this is my thing. I am questioning things. What if you just started to question, why am I following this person? Why am I following this account? Is it for tips and tricks on how to actually harm myself further? Or is it because I'm actually learning how to help myself? I'm actually like adding these little pieces in to my life. Anytime I work with someone, anytime you're on my social media, I say, hey, everything I say and everything I do is not for you. So take what feels good for you. I will never say this is Bible. This is everything that you need. As some people do, I think that's harmful. And I will say, I think it's harmful because there's so many of us that are struggling and we're looking for answers. And this is where the predatoriness comes in. About, like, even if you're looking at to titrate, you're like, ooh, I found this person. And then you start to just like attach to them and you start to lose yourself. And it happens when we are in traumatic states and we're just grabbing for anything. Sometimes we're so tired. We're just gonna have an honest conversation. We're talking about this before. We are so tired that we're like, someone else can take the reins. You think this is cool? Cool, I'm gonna try it. You love this? Cool, I wanna do it. I have seen more harmful things that have been shown as documentaries on Hulu, on Amazon, on Netflix, and they're supposed to be about these healing people. And I look at them and I'm like, this is a dangerous person. And people are like, oh my God, they're so interesting. I'm like, that person just told you that if you are feeling suicidal to lean into it. I don't think that's actually a helpful person, right? Like, there's so many options in this and it's really great. And it's also kind of scary. So you have to figure out what titration looks like for you. Does it mean you take days away to recharge? Does it mean you take hours away? Does it mean you go through your followers list? And it's not necessarily who's following you, but maybe they're leaving harmful things or they're supporting motivation to do harmful things and not actually help yourself. Could be an option, right? Like, I don't think we think about oftentimes both sides of who's following us and who we're following. Because sometimes they might be harmful on both sides. And so you look at, again, who you're now following. I have gone through and been like, ooh, actually this person, not healthy for me. Because maybe I was having a bad body day, a bad idea of myself. And I was like, maybe I should try these tips and tricks. And I go back and I'm like, no, that's the part of you that we're trying to save. That's the part of you that we are trying to get support. That's the part of you that we are navigating, because we're navigating healing, what that looks like. And this is going against the goals we've set for ourselves.
I think that's so great. All these tips about, you know, yeah, limiting your exposure to anything that feels harmful. And I like what you're saying about going on both sides, right? Checking who you're following, checking who's following you and what comments they're leaving, and just curating your social media so that it's supportive rather than harmful, and questioning, like you say, what is it that I want to get out of this, right? Mm-hmm. And like, am I looking just, do I want, am I using social media as an escapism? Do I just want to see like cute doodles and baking tips?
Yes.
Or am I using it as a learning tool? Or am I using it? And then, you know, titrating when you're using it, how much you're using it, which types you're using, all these mm-hmm. kind of things. And I think that's fantastic advice about how to like protect yourself from trauma, basically on the internet. And mm-hmm. I'm also curious about in life, right? Because sometimes it can be harder to curate your IRL social circles, let's call it, right? So it's one thing to be able to block or unfollow or stop someone following you on social media. It's another to, you know, we go out in the world and the supermarket cashier might be in a bad mood that day and say something that's going to activate us or trigger us. Or we have a friend who's going through a hard time and we want to be supportive, but everything they're saying is bringing us up our own trauma. Or we've got someone who, is like just really depending on us and we're above capacity, or, you know, there's all these situations in life, or we're at work and we have a really difficult, dominating boss who makes us feel really terrible about ourselves, but we need the job. And so how do we navigate our trauma and our like trigger points, and how do we titrate our exposure to harm in person, in the real world, off of the internet?
Yeah, I think it's so hard to do it in different ways. So you kind of touched on different types of relationships, right? Because also I think we should note that these are all different types of relationships, no matter if they are continued, if there's a connection just in that moment, it's still a relationship. So if we are, let's go through someone that we just come across at a grocery store and they say something wild, we can check in with ourselves. We can physically remove ourselves, right? We can remind ourselves that whatever is happening for that person is not ours to hold on to. We can wish them well. We can say, I hope you heal, which is kind of a petty thing to say to people, but if that works for you, wish them healing, wish them well. And if that feels good and you're like, I protected myself and I don't reminded them, this is not for me, right? If that feels good, cool. And then once you start to get into deeper relationships, friends, family, what I have learned to say, and please take this as you can, I don't have the capacity to show up for you in this moment, but I would like to. Is it okay if when I'm able to, that I return to you? Because you're letting them know you hear them, you're letting them know you care, but you're also taking care of yourself. And you're giving them now the option, because then you're putting the onus back onto them, if that feels good for them. You're like, hey, I can't. I hope that you find what you need, but I can't do that for you right now. And it takes it back to my thought that I always say is, if you've been on an airplane and you listen to the speech, what do they tell you when the face mask drops? Put it on yourself first. God, put it on yourself first. Yeah, because if you are fumbling, trying to get someone else, you're exerting energy, you are exerting your life, possibly, you're putting yourself in danger by taking care of someone else. So you are sacrificing yourself. We're going to use big words right now. You are sacrificing yourself to make sure that someone else is okay, to make sure that someone else can eat, that they can breathe, that they can navigate every day. But how fair is that to you? Right? So I like to utilize like, hey, I want to, but I can't. Can we check back in? Or you can also offer what you can do. Hey, you have this big ask and I would love to show up for you. I cannot, but here's what I can offer. There's a list of 10 and you can offer two is better than nothing. Right? And if someone tries to be like, well, I need, great. I hope you find that. I can't offer you all of this, but here's what I can offer you, because I can't. What are we not doing? Sacrificing ourselves. And when we look at even difficult relationships, I think all relationships have their own difficultness. But when it's a dependent thing on feeding yourself, housing yourself, medications, right? The self-care things, it adds extra stress to that. And if you are working with someone, I've had people harm me in workplaces. If you are not the boss and there is a boss, somebody's always got a boss. Okay, there is just not one way to do something. There's always someone in charge of something, right? It might be their parent. Maybe you go snitch them up. I'm kidding. But there's someone above. And if you are not able to handle the situation, please seek an outside person. If you are no longer able to handle it yourself, if you are being harmed, if you are being threatened, or if you are not feeling safe, again, safety is internally and externally. If you do not feel safe that someone's going to physically touch you, they are threatening to touch you, any of those things, if they are emotionally, psychologically harming you, saying little things, leaving notes, you know, reminding you of these things, putting extra pressure on you, making fun of you, right? These are all options. They're like, it's a joke. Joke every day. right? Are we just hiding it? HR, their boss, if you need to bring in a mediator, even if, you know what, even if you have a coworker that has your back and is like, I will do this fight with you, you are allowed that. Because oftentimes I feel like when we are in the shit of it, we feel so alone, we feel so isolated, and we also don't want to bother other people, because a lot of us knows what it feels like to be in it. But think about this and remember this. You have people in your life that love you. You have people in your life that care about you. And they tell you this. Put it to the test. Let them do it. Allow people to actually show up for you. I was asked earlier, like, do you have people? And I'm like, yeah, I have people. Sometimes I'm so loved that it's annoying. But I also know that I am so loved and I have people that show up for me in different ways. Right? I know that if I'm struggling in this way, this person's really good at that. I know that if I need to vent and be a little catty, I got this person. If I need to just lay on the sofa, I have this person. And also I know that I could be like, hey, I need everyone to leave me alone for a little bit. They'll do it for a little bit. You got to remind people. But you're not alone in the thing. And I feel like trauma makes us feel so isolated. Even if you share the same trauma, you can be in a support group, which I hold support groups for survivors. We're all sexual assault survivors. And you can still feel so alone because you're constantly like, well, I shouldn't be here. My trauma is not as big as this. And it's not your fault. So this is where I also remind you, if you are someone that is doing this work and also a survivor of whatever type of trauma, or if you are someone that is a trauma survivor that's trying to find support and lifelines, none of it is your fault. The way that the system in any country that you are in, because no one triumphs for trauma, but they cause a lot of it. You are not alone. And there's other people that are also trying to navigate the same thing.
So we've talked about, you know, the harm and helpful and what trauma healing is and isn't. We've talked about how to navigate online world, which can be very activating and triggering. We've talked how to navigate in-person relationships. But now I want to talk about just navigating life in general when you have trauma, right? Because sometimes, even if we do all the things we've just talked about, even if we limit our social media, even if we like look after our own self first, rely on community and like manage to avoid too many toxic people or triggering people or harmful relationships, sometimes things happen and trauma can occur and we can end up being hurt. We can end up being in spaces of grief, of pain, of harm, of just different types of things can arise, and we can get activated, triggered, traumatized, and then we have to go to work, and then we have to have a conversation with that friend, and then we have to you know, just function, like when all we want to do is just get the world to pause whilst we like deal with our shit, or we just want to disappear in a hole. So how do we navigate not just relationships but life when we're dealing with trauma?
Wow, why are you yelling at me right now? As someone that has had multiple traumas happen to them, and as someone that is also actively grieving, I don't know what that is, that sounds fun. Actively grieving, and life continues. I will say that it's really hard. Sugarcoating is not my favorite thing. And so let's get to it. It's really hard, especially when you are a trauma survivor that does trauma work with other people, and then you have something new come up, and you don't feel like you're getting your footing. Like you're constantly just like, the slippery parts of it. I think that is where you have to force a pause. And whatever that looks like, I am a fan of turning my phone off and telling people, hey, I'm not available for the rest of the day. I am a fan of staycations, because sometimes leaving your house is expensive. But you know what? You've already paid for this one. Stay in the house. Ignore people for a bit. I am a fan of dance parties for myself. No one else. It's just me. Because every day is so different. So how do we expand on just existence when, depending on what your marginalizations are, you're actively fighting the outside world to just exist already on top of your other traumas? So I think also if we pan back, it's like, how do we navigate the world as trauma survivors, but also how do we navigate the world as people that also deal with marginalizations? And so it's comma, 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 comma. And you're going, but I can't even deal with one thing. And now I'm worried about being a Black lady walking down the street. And now I'm worried about being a queer lady down the street. Now I'm worried about someone possibly harming me or someone yelling at me. And I wish I had a clear answer for what this is. And I know there's people like, well, tell us how to fix it. And I think the realest thing that I can say in this moment is, every day is going to be different, but you figure out what your armor looks like, what your mask looks like for that time in just navigating IRL. And then you are able to take the time, and I'll go back to what that means to my brain, because everything, again, take anything I say with a little bit. If it feels good, if it doesn't, leave it there. But what that feels like to my brain is, what do I need to feel that I can exist? What does it feel like to feel safe? Again, safety looks different for all people. My safety is not the same as your safety. So what does that mean internally and externally to navigate things? And also, what is it like to actually take a break and listen to my body? Your body will go, hey, it's not for us today. We're just gonna like not. When we're constantly forcing ourselves to push through the it's not working, we are actively harming ourselves. Right? Like, society is an actively chaotic place. You think about it, it's tons of people, tons of different personalities, tons of this, what's, but it's also tons of people that are just trying to survive. And survival looks different for other people. And the things that we do to survive look different for other people. And let me bring this back to where we are, is how do we just exist when we have other things happening? When we are grieving, not just possibly losing someone physically, but grieving relationship, grieving ourselves evolving. There are many people, and I'm going to say this very honestly, there are many people that don't want to necessarily heal because they're scared of what the other side of it looks like, because they are so attached to their trauma because they know what that is because they've held on to it for so long. But what is it like to get out of bed and just go, oh, I'm okay today. Oh no, what do I do with this? I think there's also the conversation in, what does it feel like to have to navigate all these things and also be happy?
100%.
That is, I would say, is a big mind fuck, because you might be trying to go outside and there's all these things, and outside is relative. Outside is whatever you want it to be. But when you're navigating and you're like, this is a really cool moment. Like, I am in this and this is so happy. And then grief or trauma goes, psst, don't forget about me. I'm still here. And you're like, oh shit, I shouldn't be happy because I have to deal with this. And this is sad and I don't deserve this. You do deserve it. Again, I tell myself this all the time. I'm actively navigating what happiness and being loved is, as I am sad. People are like, you look great. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's great. I'm glad I look great, because that's an external version of myself. Internally, I am sad. I am missing people. Like, I am navigating what I see on the internet. I'm navigating what my family is going through. I'm navigating what I'm going through. I'm navigating through the work and the people that I work with. Because oftentimes, it isn't just us that we are also trying to figure out in this moment. It's all of these people that are around us in our web. And so how do you go, hey, web, now we're spiders. Hey, web, the spider, you're the spider in the web. I'm going to go to this side of the web and you just stay over here for a little bit. It's really hard, especially when you have people that depend on you. But I think you know that even in when we're in this web, we are constantly being watched. We are constantly someone's role model. And you know what else people want us to do and people want to see is, how the hell do I rest? How do you do this thing? How do you take care of yourself? Even when we are not seeking to be someone's role model, there's always someone watching us to do this thing. I've been at jobs and I'm just like doing the job. And people are like, the way you do this thing is amazing. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is just how I do it. You never know who is watching the way you do the things that are amazing. And also when we stumble, not actually looking at you to stumble, although there are some people that are wishing on our downfall and we hope they heal. But it's how you get back up from that stumble. It's how you maybe lay down a little bit and go, you know what? Maybe I needed to trip and stay in this spot for a little bit. It might sound wild, and my anecdotes might be a little kooky, but I just want to take it all back to, there is no one way to do this. There is no one way to exist. There is no one way to navigate being outside, because the things that affect you are going to be different from the things that affect the next person. I think the work that this is, because it is work for all of us, right, in different levels, is very humanistic and hard. And so if we're able to look at it in honesty and we go, I hate this. I don't love it. I think it goes to, and this is, again, it's chaotic. My brain's all over the place these days. Is that healing isn't fun. That trauma, navigating your trauma isn't fun. When people are like, I should feel so good because I learned how to meditate. I learned about my aura. I learned about colors. I got cleansed. I did all these things. And it's like, first off, that sounds like a lot. What worked? What didn't work? You don't know, because you threw the whole kitchen sink at it. But also it's like, slow down. I think it's harder for people that are struggling with trauma that are actively existing to slow down. Because when we slow down, it's real again. I don't shame anyone for doing a billion things and constantly moving, because again, I will continue to point at myself. I hope you're taking this role modeling of awareness of going, hey, you're doing a lot and you're not taking care of yourself, because you're trying to mask and be like, I can do everything. I'm so strong. I can do all these things. When in totality, I'm hurting myself. So I am aiding in my own trauma. That's wild to think. You're trying to do all these things. You're like, I've done everything. I've done all the therapies. I've done all the retreats. Is it actively helping you, or is it actively hurting you? Which goes back to our conversation of asking yourself these questions. Are being around all these people, going to all these conferences, so helpful for me? Or is it actively hurting me because I'm surrounding myself with so many different ideas that my own feelings are being watered down? And so I'm saying a lot of things, and I am tiptoeing and tapping and tagging in different parts of this conversation, because there is no one answer. And I hate when people go, here's the one book that's going to heal your trauma.
100%.
I think that that's wild. I think it's wild.
Absolutely. And I think we're back to, you know, we've done a beautiful full circle here, because we're back to that thing of like, if only there was a magic pill, and there's not. And trauma healing isn't a set menu. It's about recognizing one's own experience, what one needs at any given moment. It's about putting one's own oxygen mask on first. It's about titrating not just our exposure to social media, but even titrating the practices we do. So many fantastic methodologies of trauma healing that we touch upon in these conferences, but you don't need to do it all at once. It's about recognizing the trauma response, or you don't even need to do it all, full stop. You can find what works for you, and of the things that work for you, you don't need to do it all at once. It's about recognizing your trauma responses. Like you say, like, I could relate to a lot of what you were saying. Like, one of mine as well is getting over busy. I'm currently working on about 5 different projects at once. Maybe that's a trauma response. I know it is. I've been looking at that. But like, having compassion for oneself when things are coming up and just be like, huh, okay, that's happening. It's having timeouts where, yeah, life is continuing, but we get to take breaks within that. We get to say to work, hey, I'm off sick today. If we can, of course, some, you know, we will have different circumstances, and sometimes we're a parent and you can't really, you know, it's maybe asking someone to look after your kids for an afternoon or a couple of hours. It's taking time and space to just take a deep breath and see what you need in any given moment. Maybe I honestly, if I'm being honest, I've done a bunch of interviews today. And before that, I was on the phone to my mom and I was suddenly got in touch with some, you know, some unhealed hurt, some traumatic thing that is still impacting me. And I had 10 minutes where I just cried and it felt great. And I really felt into those feelings. I allowed myself to cry. And then it's not so much, for me, I don't use the language of mask because I don't feel like I'm putting on a mask like when I'm doing these conferences, but it's about like situational appropriateness, right? So it's that was, I had a 20 minute break where I was able to cry for 10 minutes and then be like, okay, I felt into it, I've released something, and now I'm coming and I'm doing these interviews and I'm having these conversations and I'm not going to burst into tears right this minute because that's not situationally appropriate. But I can talk about the fact that I cried earlier because that does feel appropriate, right? Because we're all navigating these complexities together. And as you've said so many times, it's not about following a fixed menu. It's not even about finding the right menu for you. It's about tuning in and being as honest and authentic with yourself as you can be and figuring out what you need in this moment. And sometimes what you need is to, like you say, put your armor on, pull yourself together. And sometimes it can be really hard to accept that you're feeling good in any given moment when you feel like you should, and there's the shoulds that we were talking about earlier again, feel a certain kind of way. So it's as much as people can be, it's being authentic with oneself, it's tuning in and figuring out what one needs in any given moment, and it's finding the best ways of doing that, whether it's relying on support and community, whether it's taking a time out, and of course, it's hard and we're all figuring it out and we're all doing our best. So hopefully people can be compassionate with themselves.
Yeah. What comes up for me too, and I know we've had this conversation, not here, is like, who's allowed this? Like, who is allowed to be at peace? Who is allowed to navigate healing? Oftentimes we are not taught these things. Even bare men, we're not taught how to say yes and no to things. We are taught to show up. We are taught to listen to our parents. We are taught to follow these rules that are made up. We are taught to do all of these things. But also we're taught in some societies that it doesn't matter because whatever you need doesn't exist or it's not a high enough care for other people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I was raised, I was always told I was too sensitive. Like, you're always crying all the time. And so I internalized that with, I'm not allowed to have feelings. I'm not allowed to be upset. I'm not allowed, you know, to cry. And it took me a long time of like crying all the time to be like, I'm not allowed to cry, to be like, oh no, we can cry. And I think we invite in with trauma, with navigating moving forward, with learning yourself, there's also a lot of unlearning that we have to navigate. We have to unlearn that. Yeah. We have to unlearn how society has told us that we should show up. We might have to unlearn how our family has told us we should show up and what's appropriate and not appropriate, because everything is a different chasm. Like every community is different. Your family is a community outside your work, whatever. But like, if it doesn't work for you, you don't have to pick it up, right? And so who is allowed? We are all allowed, no matter what society tells you. Like, I have a nonprofit, Tending the Garden, where we focus support on marginalized sexual assault survivors. Does that mean that we don't support all survivors? Absolutely not. But it means that all of these people that normally don't get support because someone has decided that they don't matter, we just put them to the forefront because they do matter in our eyes, because no one should be left wayside, right? And so it makes me think, why not? Because it doesn't make someone money, Is it racism? Is it sexism? Is it homophobia? Is it all transphobia? Is it all of the above? I don't know. I don't know why I struggle with getting funding and money to support these individuals, when in reality, I see all these other people that aren't working as hard, that are focused on non-marginalized people that have all types of money coming at them and all types of events and support. And we're keeping it 100 here. And it's very disheartening and it's hard, but also we are all allowed healing. So why is it that it has to be separate? Why does it have to be navigated differently when it should just be a normal thing? So that is the reminder of who is allowed healing and navigating trauma. We all are. It just looks different. And our needs are just different, absolutely, right? Societal, racial, right? Ethnic backgrounds. It's going to all look different. Gender identities. Like, we might need different things. Just because you have the same genitals as someone doesn't mean we have the same situation happening, right? Like, let's be honest, is that we all deserve it, but sometimes we're made to feel like we don't. And that's another checklist on the hardships and the adding to trauma.
Absolutely. And on that note, sadly, we are out of time, but thank you so, so much for your time today. I've really appreciated this conversation. How can people find out more about you and your work?
Yes. Well, let's start backwards. Tendingthegarden.love. If you want to support marginalized survivors, if you want to find out what we're doing, we can always use some support. Traumaqueen.love is my website. If you look up Jiminika on social media, on Instagram, trauma work, if you look at me up on Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it these days, you're going to see me yelling about all kinds of things, including professional wrestling. So those are the places you can find me.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.